This is our final study in Peter's epistle, 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 to 18, living in view of the future universe. Before the apostle Peter began to minister for the Lord and the church, his outlook was impacted by Christ's prophecy in John 21, 18 and 19 that he would be crucified for Christ. So eternity was often in Peter's mind. In accord with this theme, and in view of the opposition of false teachers to the righteousness of God that will mark the future universe, according to 2 Peter 2, 1 to 21, 22, Peter in 2 Peter 3, 14 to 18, directed that his readers live lives that reflect the righteousness of God's future universe in which they will live. So we view this passage for our insight, application, and edification. Want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Okay. To show that one's behavior is linked to his expectation of the Lord's coming, the paragraph that begins with 2 Peter 3:14 begins with the inferential conjunction deal, which means for this reason, therefore. So the end of the current universe that is marked by the presence of sin with its traumatic passing away with a great noise and fervent heat, followed by God's creation of a new universe in which God's righteousness dwells, that's according to verses 10 through 13 of this chapter, indicates that the believer's departing from sin and living righteously is immensely important to the Creator God himself. So it only follows, that's where deal is there, that we believers should seek to be viewed by our Creator God as spotless, blameless, and at peace in our lives. I have Microsoft does pictures when I turn the computer on, and right now the pictures come up of a star cluster, actually stars and dust, which is millions and millions of light years away, and it's probably pictured from one of the Hubble telescopes or something. And the immense number of stars that are just in that little cluster are huge, and to think that God is going to pass this entire universe away with a colossal noise and a fireball, probably a huge, gigantic atomic bomb. He's going to get rid of it because sin has tainted it, and he's going to create a brand new universe because he wants a universe in which there's righteousness. It shows that God is very motivated that righteousness be in his people. He's going to take us out of this world. He's going to put us into a completely new universe where righteousness dwells. So if God's that interested that he's going to do away with his entire universe and create a completely new universe, then he really wants us to live righteous lives. So to counter the mockers whom Peter foretold would arise, we should view the seeming long delay of Christ's return not as reason to doubt that Christ would return, like God predicted, but as evidence of his long-suffering in delaying his expression of wrath. For God wants the lost to trust in Christ to be saved. I've never thought of God as suffering, of long-suffering, but that's exactly what it is. God has been existing for thousands of years in a universe where there is sin. Sin is the opposite of God. And the tension is enormous. This is why the angels are constantly calling out, holy, holy is God. The word holy means separate, 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 because the angels sense this enormous tension. And God is there at perfectly righteousness, And he's dealing with a world where there's sin. And the only thing the Bible says about man that is great is his sin is great. So there's this enormous tension between God and sinful man. It's been going on and on and on. So it's actually something that elicits the long suffering of God. But God is gracious. He's not willing that they should perish. So he puts up with it, even though it's a tremendous strain on him. And it's going to be interesting when we see the Lord someday, we meet him and see the tremendous perfection of his righteousness. And we'll be astounded that he put up with it all this time. Anyway, Peter claimed that the Apostle Paul wrote of this long-suffering by God, and Paul's claim of this truth appears in his epistle, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, where he actually says it's because of the long-suffering of God that he puts up with and doesn't immediately destroy a sinful man. Well, Peter then exampled what he taught, exhibiting spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace in 2 Peter 3:15 to 16. And I think this is a wonderful thing that Peter does here, viewing him when God called him. When God called Peter, type A personality, the Lord says, I want you to row your boat out into the deep and let down your net for a catch of fish. And Peter said, look, you know, I'm an experienced fisherman. We've been doing this all night, and we haven't caught any fish. But I'm going to show you. I'm a good guy. So I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to let down my nets for you. So he did, and of course he encumbers this huge load of fish, and Peter is absolutely blown away by this. And that's his introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has come a long way since that time, and he's matured a lot. And the maturity of Peter is seen here in what he does with Paul. Peter exampled what he taught, exhibiting spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace. First, Peter claimed that the Apostle Paul wrote of this long-suffering by God, and decades before this epistle was written, Paul had severely rebuked Peter, Galatians chapter 2, 11 to 14. But this did not sever their love and respect for each other. I feel it was about 20 or 21 years before when Paul had called Peter and Barnabas on the carpet because they were not living in accordance with the gospel. And Paul was very defensive of the gospel. But Peter in 2 Peter 3:15 referred to Paul as literally our beloved brother Paul. He wasn't holding a grudge against him or anything, indicating his continued high regard for and love for this fellow brother in Christ. Furthermore, Peter wrote that Paul had written with the wisdom of God that God had given him, recognizing Paul's spiritual gifting and calling of the Lord. So he's not just, you know, saying something nice about Paul in order to get along with him. He's actually saying that this is a gifted man. He's been gifted with the wisdom of God. In addition, Peter added that Paul wrote the same way in all of his epistles. Notice, speaking of these things, that Paul's letters contain some things that were hard to understand, so that ignorant and unstable people distorted them. In other words, Peter defended Paul's writings from his critics. And then finally, Peter gave highly elevated Paul's epistles, writing that they were divinely inspired scripture along with the rest of the divinely inspired scriptures. And I want to explain this. This comes out in the Greek text. When Peter wrote about the other scriptures besides Paul's letters, the Greek word for other is loipos. It literally means remaining or rest, the rest. That is, others of the same kind. Had Peter meant that Paul's letters were other of a different kind than the divinely inspired scriptures, he would have used the Greek term allos for the English word other, but he didn't use allos. He used loipos. So Peter wrote that all of Paul's epistles were scripture along with the rest of the scriptures. So Paul's writings were then considered authoritative scripture. This is one reason why the church was anxious to get a hold of all of Paul's epistles when Peter wrote this. This is a man who had in Christ covered the canonicity of Peter's words in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. But then here Peter is covering Paul's words, and this is really great because Paul wrote at least 13 of the epistles. If he wrote Hebrews, then it would be more than that, but this is very valuable information for canonicity. Second, Peter exemplified spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace in warning his readers to be on guard against the false teachers to come, that they not fall from their lofty spiritual lifestyles into sin. And then third, Peter exemplified spotlessness, blamelessness, and peace in urging his readers to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. And of course, Peter's own growth from where he was in that fisherman when the Lord called him in Luke's gospel to getting to where he was here when he was writing this epistle not long before his own crucifixion. This is a man who is elderly at this particular point. He's really grown up in the Lord and a very level-headed, very gracious. So in view of the high priority of overcoming sin, to live righteously in God's view, as noted in his one day catastrophically destroying the current sin-tainted universe, to create a new one where righteousness dwells, we believers are to live righteous, spotless, blameless, and peaceful lives as taught and exampled by Peter. So in view of God's great desire to give us a destiny of righteousness, may we live righteously today. Once again, looking at that picture of those stars out there, and we feel that there are millions upon millions of galaxies, let alone, you know, trillions and trillions of stars out there. And to think that, you know, we haven't even begun to see all of them, and we may never see all of them that God has created, but he's going to do the whole thing away and create a whole new universe for righteousness. Wow. So God help us to be righteous and to make that a high priority.